Beginning a new series today, a new series, Taking Things for Granted, Taking Things for Granted. Our text is going to be 1 Thessalonians 5:18 and also James 1 and verse 17. In 1 Thessalonians it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Notice that, in everything give thanks. And then in James chapter 1 and verse 17, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Notice that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have an opportunity to come together, to sing together, to fellowship together, to rejoice together, to study your word together. What a blessing that is. But we know the greatest blessing is that we can come together and we can worship you, because you are the only one that is deserving of honor and glory and praise. And we just praise your holy name. We thank you for your precious Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray to the Lord, as if we look into your word, that you'll give us understanding, that you'll help us to understand these truths, to take them, to apply them to our lives, so that we might do that which is pleasing in your sight. Father, I pray that you give me clarity of thought, that you'll give me clarity of speech of what I say and do is in keeping with your word. In Jesus' precious, holy, and wonderful name do I pray. Amen. We're going to begin talking about taking things for granted. And I was trying to define what it means to take things for granted. And in studying this, I came up with three aspects of it. One of the aspects is this. It means that you underestimate the value of either a person or a thing, that you don't value it anymore, that what used to be valuable is now has very little value to it. And so when we take things for granted, we no longer see their value. When we also take things for granted, it means the fact that we no longer appreciate it. We no longer look at it as something that we want to appreciate. We're no longer grateful for it, that we have just taken it for granted. In another sense, we look at taking things for granted when we expect it always to be there and we forget that we're lucky to have it or that we're blessed to have it. So when I'm talking about taking things for granted, we're looking at it from the fact that we no longer consider it valuable. We take it for granted. We no longer think that it's important. And we look at it from the standpoint that we forget that we're blessed to have it, and we think it's always going to be there. And so we take things for granted. Matter of fact, I've learned in my life that every age, no matter what age you are, you have a tendency to take that age for granted, and you want to be another age. I know that when I was 12, 13 years old, I couldn't wait till I got 16 years old. When I got 16 years old, I couldn't wait till I got 21 years old. You know, I get in my 20s, you know. When we're teenagers, we cannot wait till we get to be in our 20s. I remembered as a teenager, I thought to myself, you know, when I finally get to be 20 years old, I'll get to do what I want to do. I won't be underneath my parents. I get out on my own. I get to do what I want to do. I can't wait till I get 20 years old. Got married, and guess what happened? I'm still waiting to do what I want to do, even though I'm almost 60 years old next year. When we're 20, we think about the fact I can't wait till I'm 30, because by the time I go through my 20s, by the 30s, I'll be making enough money I can buy what I want to buy. When we're in our 30s, we start thinking about 40s, because when we get to our 40s, we'll think, well, the kids will be out of the house and we'll get the house back. We get in our 40s, we start thinking about the 50s, and we'll get to think about, you know, I get to go through midlife crisis and I'll be able to make some bad decisions, buy me that new sports car, and people just say, oh, they're just going through the midlife crisis. Can't wait till I get 50. When we get in our 50s, we think about the fact I can't wait till I get 65 or 70. Then I can retire. And I'll have the time to do what I want to do. Well, I've been talking to some people that have retired. They said they're busier now than when they worked. So I don't want to retire and be busier than what I was. When we finally get to our 60s and our 70s, we stop and we say, oh, if I was only 20 again. You know? And finally, by the time we get 80, we figure life out and it's over with. And that's the way it goes. We're always looking for what somebody else has. We're always looking at another age. We're never satisfied. And what we do, we take life for granted where we are. We start to take things for granted. I hope over the next several weeks, we're going to look at four different things that we take for granted in life. I hope that we can go from complaining to praising, from griping to thanking, and from being ungrateful to being grateful. And I believe if we'll look in the Word of God, we'll find this. Matter of fact, if you'll go back in Numbers chapter 11, go all the way back to Numbers chapter 11, I wanted to show you how that as time goes by, we can become ungrateful of the things that we have and the blessings that we have. In Numbers chapter 11, and if you look down to verse 4, it says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and melons and leeks and onions and garlic. But our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Now, notice what they're saying here, and you can go on it. The Lord rained the manna down and the dew of the day. All they had to do was go out and collect it. The nation of Israel had been in the land of Egypt for 400 years. They had been in bondage. And as they were in bondage, they cried out to God to deliver them. And God sent Moses, and God miraculously delivered the nation of Israel out of bondage. And as they came out of bondage, the Lord led them over the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness. And God is every day providing manna for them. And on Friday, before the Sabbath, He provided enough so that they would have for Friday and for Saturday on the Sabbath. God gave them everything that they needed. And God provided for them. But notice what they did. Notice their attitude. Look at verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. Notice the next word. Freely. Now they were in bondage. Now they're looking back and they're saying, Lord, you're providing for us. We don't like what you're giving us. We wanted this. We wanted the cucumbers and the garlic and the melons and the fish. We want that. And in other words, they were looking back. And they started taking for granted what God had blessed them with. And so we see in so many times in our lives, we start to take the blessings of God for granted. And we start to complain and we start to look, oh, this person has it better and that person has it better. And we don't enjoy the blessings in our life because we are taking them for granted. Matter of fact, I want to give you two key words in taking things for granted. Two key words, and they are this. One is we devalue it, and two, we waste it. Two key words in taking things for granted is when we devalue it and we waste it. When we no longer see it as a value and we waste what God has blessed us with. I want to give you the first thing that we take for granted. The very first thing we take for granted is this. We take life for granted. We take life for granted. That's what we do. And many times we look and we start complaining. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm not this age. I'm not that age. And we start to look at life and we start to take life for granted. I want you to write this down. I did not put this in your notes, but I want you to write it down. You have one life. make the most of it. You have one life. Make the most of it. There is no such thing as reincarnation. There is no such thing as coming back again and getting to live it all over again. You have one life. Make the most of it. Let me give you several things this morning. Number one is this. We take for granted our present life. We take for granted our present life. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he can gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his souls? How do we take life for granted? We take life for granted when we devalue it and we waste it. I want to give you several things this morning. First of all, what I want to tell you is this. I came across an article, before I get to fill in my notes and all, I came across an article, and it says, how to tell if you're wasting your life. How can you tell if you're wasting your life? And I was very interested in this, and as I was studying this, I was reading accounts of people who were in their 20s. And 20 years old, and 20 years old, as far as I'm concerned, they haven't even started to live yet. At 20 years, they said, I've wasted my life. I've just thrown my life away. And some at 20 years old have wasted their life. But this man gave 8 different things he said that how we waste our life. And I want to kind of walk through them very quickly. He said, number one, when we get to the point that we say good enough has become the new standard. And he says in this, you don't try hard anymore. You don't try new things. You don't work at your life. In other words, when you just float through life, and I know people that all they do is float through life. When they say, it's good enough. The other one is, he said, number two, you think work is the only thing that matters. I had a very good friend of mine who worked in one of the... He spent his entire life working. He worked up through the corporate ladder. He worked all the way up until he became an area supervisor over an entire area. He worked up shift foreman, project engineer, plant engineer, production engineer, until he became an area supervisor. He was an area supervisor in his mid-40s. He worked 7 days a week, sometimes 16 hours a day. He worked during the whole time that his children were growing up and being teenagers. By the time he was in his late 40s, his wife left him. He didn't know his own children because the only value he had in his life was work. When he hit between 48 and 49, the company laid him off. And there was a time in which companies that if you could take early retirement at 50 and you were a company person, they laid you off at 49 so they would not have to pay retirement until 65. So he had spent his entire life saying, the only thing that matters is my work. He lost his marriage. He lost his children. And they laid him off. Life is more than work. He also says in his article, always chasing the latest toy. Nothing ever satisfies. He says, you know you're wasting your life when television is your best friend. Turn it off. Go outside. Do something. I remember a little cartoon years ago, and there was a child sitting on the couch and playing the little video game, and the father walked by, and the child said, this is just like real baseball. And the daddy says, "In your at your age, we played real baseball. Get out and play real baseball. Do something. You're wasting your life when your television is your best friend." Or maybe today we might say when your telephone or your cell phone is your best friend. You escaped into a fantasy world. You find yourself living in the past. Others tell you how to live. You're wasting your life. And this article is very interesting because at the very end of the article it said this. He had four words. The choice is yours. In other words, what you do with your life is dependent upon the choices you make. I want you to take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 15. Over to Luke chapter 15, we're going to see a young man that wasted his life. And as you turn there, I kind of want to go through some of my notes and tell you how we devaluate and waste life. And let me give you these and then we're going to come right back to Luke chapter 15. We devaluate and waste life when we do not realize how precious it is. We devaluate and waste life when we do not realize how precious life is. Life is precious. Life comes from God. Life is a gift from God. And we need to understand that life is precious. And that unborn child in the womb is just as precious as one outside of the womb. I want to tell you about an unborn child. An unborn child is just as precious as a child outside of the womb because there's only five things that are different. Their age, their size, their experience, and their intelligence and location. That's the only difference. And if you'll look at us, we're all sitting in a different place. We're all different sizes. We're all different ages. We all have different experiences. But we're all precious in the sight of God, just as that unborn child. That unborn child is precious. Life is precious. We devaluate and waste life when we don't realize it is a gift from God. Life is a gift from God. God breathed into man the breath of life and man became a living soul. Every day you have is a gift. Every moment, every hour, God has blessed you with the gift of life and you need to make the most of it. We devaluate and waste life when we don't realize we only have one. We only have one life. We only have one opportunity, and it is over in a moment. It comes by, and it goes in a hurry. I remember when I was 18 years old playing basketball, and I went out, and I would play with my uncle. My uncle was 18 years older than me, and he was a big basketball player, and I loved playing basketball. And we would play basketball, and his friends, and I'll never forget Ted and Jerry Calhoun would be playing with my Uncle Ronnie, and they were 35, 36 years old. I was 18 years old, and I was thinking, I can't hurt these old folks. They're old. They're in their 30s. Don't hurt them. And then I got to 30 and I realized they're young. And then I thought about people in their 60s that they were old. And I'm a year away from 60 and they're young. I tell you, I got here in a hurry. And you're getting there in a hurry. And you got one opportunity. We devaluate life when we fail to realize we have one opportunity. We make the most of life when we realize every day is an opportunity from God to serve Him. Every day is a gift from the Lord. Every day that you have, God has given you a gift to spend time with your family and friends, the people that you love. He's given you an opportunity to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given you an opportunity to serve Him. It's a gift, and you need to make the most of it. We make the most out of life when we realize God has a purpose for our life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. God has a purpose for your life, and your life is to bring glory to Him. Your life is to serve Him and to do what He's called you to do. There's a purpose to your life. When you fulfill that purpose, you're making the most out of the life God has given you. We make the most out of life when we realize the Lord is seeking what is best for us. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. All things work together for good to them that love God. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That God has what's good for you, and God is blessing you, and God is leading you and guiding you. And you need to enjoy that, and you need to rejoice in that. You know, one of the things I see more than anything else is this. I see people going through life not enjoying the life God gave them because they are always envious of what somebody else has. And I will honestly tell you this, I do not understand reality TV. I don't. I don't understand. Now, maybe you like it, that's fine. If you enjoy it, that's fine. But I don't understand watching somebody else live. Live your life. Enjoy the life God has blessed you with and given it to you because it's a gift from Him. Don't try to live somebody else's life. I see so too many people go through life. They bemoan the fact, I don't have what he has. I don't have what she has. I want this. I want that. God meant what was good for you, and God's going to give you the desire of your heart. Rest in that and enjoy that. We make the most out of life when we realize the Lord has called us to serve others. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. We're called to serve others. Now, I want you to go back to Luke chapter 15. Now, I want you to see a young man that threw his life away. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them into his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country. And there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He sent him into the field to feed the swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Notice this, a young man living in his father's house. His father was taking care of him. He had a career for him. He had opportunities for him. He was well fed, clothed, roof over his head. Goes to his father and says, I want my inheritance. He gets it. He runs off to the next country. He goes away from everybody else. He starts living a sinful, a depraved life. He goes and he has a lot of fun living in sin. And believe me, there's a beautiful side of sin, but when sin is over with, it rears its ugly head. Runs out of money. When the money goes out, the friends go out. Has nothing to buy. Nothing to buy food with. So he gets the job feeding the pigs. And the only way he can keep from being hungry is to eat what the pigs are eating. He wasted his days. And I believe this. This is my second point. We make life the greatest waste when we take for granted our eternal life. When we take for granted our eternal life. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, for what is a man profiteth if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I want you to understand, everybody knows that death is real. Everybody knows that people die. But we ignore the fact. We don't want to think about it. Because we go through this life and we think nothing will ever change. It'll change for everybody else, but it won't change for me. We think it's not going to happen to me. It'll happen to everybody else, but it's not going to happen to me. And then we sit down and we think, we're the exception. Everybody else is going to die, but I'm going to just keep going. But there's coming a time God's going to call me home. And I'm going to leave this life. And there's coming a time God's going to call you home. And you're going to leave this life. And the question is this, what have you done about your eternal life? The greatest tragedy in all of the world would be for a man to waste the opportunities God has given him and leave this world without Jesus Christ. That would be the greatest waste of a life. Every day is an opportunity. A person who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if they wake up tomorrow, it is for the simple fact that God has allowed them another opportunity to come to Him. I remember years ago, I went and sat down with a lady who was in the hospital, and she was in the last days of her life. The last days. And I shared the Lord Jesus Christ with her. And I told about Christ who died on the cross of Calvary for her, who took her place. He took her place on that cross. His blood was shed, and that she can receive the forgiveness of her sins and know that she has eternal life through Jesus Christ if she would place her faith and trust in Him. And I shared the Lord Jesus Christ with her. And she kind of gave me the, I don't know what you call it, the stock answers. Yes, yes, you know. And I went home that night, and my heart was troubled. This lady was in her 80s. And I was talking to my father on the phone. And I was telling him about the situation. And he says, Michael, did you tell her about Christ? I said, yes, sir, I did. Did you explain the plan of salvation? Did you share the Scripture? I said, I explained it and I shared the gospel with her. I showed her the Scripture. I prayed for her. I shared her the Word of God. And my father said this, you've done what God asked you to do. He gave her 80 years to come to Christ. It's up to her. It's up to her. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we need to understand that in Hebrews where it says that, after this to judgment, the very next verse says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. The verse says, it's appointed to men once to die and then the judgment. But the very next verse says, Christ died so that men might be saved. In other words, you have an opportunity. The greatest waste that will ever happen will be when a man does not use the opportunities God has given him to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because I want you to understand, if you leave this world without Christ, you will spend an eternity in hell's fire. This is not what Michael is saying, this is what the Word of God says. That's why it says in the Bible, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's why it says, those that call upon Him shall be saved. Do not waste your eternal life because you have exchanged your soul for a little bit of money or a little bit of pleasure that will not last. I read an article of a man. He was in his mid-40s and he said, my life has fallen apart. I've wasted it. Then he said what I thought was the greatest tragedy. He says, I'm an atheist and I'm not going to do anything about it. And I thought to myself, you just think you've wasted your life when you really leave this world. You will know how great a waste it really is. I did not put this in your notes on the final page, but I want you to write this down. How to stop wasting your life. How do I stop wasting my life? I want you to go back to Luke chapter 15. And I want you to see what happens to this young man. In verse 17, it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. I want to give you four things on how not to waste your life. The first one is found in verse 17. When we come to our senses, when we come to our senses, notice what it said. When he came to himself, when he came to his senses, in other words, when he made up his mind to change his life, he began the road to a life of blessing. When he made up his mind, verse 17, when he came to his senses. Verse 20, when he made the journey back to the Lord. When he made the journey back to the Lord. Notice what he says, verse 17, I came to myself. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father. He did not stop short. He did not throw in the towel. He did not give up. He finished the journey. He came all the way back to the Lord. You can say verse 20 is those, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to come. You need to seek him today. And what you'll find out is God's been seeking you the whole time. He's just waiting for you to come home. Maybe today you're already a Christian and you know Christ as Lord and Savior, but you wandered away from the Lord. You've gone away doing your own thing, and it's time to come back. It's time to come to your senses. It's time to get up and come back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he came to his senses. He made up his mind. He made the journey back. Look to verse 20. He did not stop until he reached the place of full fellowship. He did not stop until he reached the place of full fellowship. Notice what he does. He ran. His father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck. He kissed him. The fellowship had been restored. Look at the fourth thing. In verse 21, he confessed his sins. He says, Father, I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. But I want you to see what the father does. The father put a robe on him. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. That signifies You are my child. You are my child. There are so many people today that are wasting their lives. They're wasting their lives over sinful pleasures. They're seeking after things that does not satisfy. And they're exchanging temporary things for their soul. Don't take for granted the day God's given to you. And don't take for granted the eternal life that God's given. Because I want you to understand, even though this body's going to die, the spirit will live forever. It will either live with the Lord Jesus Christ or it will live apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the choice is yours. That's why from Genesis to Revelation it says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. The choice is yours. I made that choice 40-something years ago when I knelt at all and gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ.